All right. How's everybody doing? Tell you what, I'm really, really, really glad to be back home. This really, really feels like home, being back to Peoria, to the place of my assignment now. It was really a big blessing to go down and visit my family, all that, and go to the beach. I was so blessed. But I tell you what was more of a blessing to me, to have the opportunity to share Jesus and to preach and to see God move in a really powerful way. We got there on Tuesday night, and next day on Wednesday I went to preach to a church, and the glory of God fell on that place and over the people, and that opened up many other opportunities. And on Sunday service I went to share the word in a church, about 300 people. And God moved in a supernatural way, so powerful. I ministered there, prayed for people until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because people was so hungry to receive from the Lord. And I counted close to 30 people getting saved, receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for them. Yes, praise the Lord. That was so powerful, so powerful. There was a harvest. People came to the front, to the altar, and miracles and signs and wonders and deliverance. There was one of the things that really touched my heart is that one family, the whole family came. It was the first time that they were at church. They got invited. The whole family came to receive Jesus. It was mom and dad, old couple with two daughters, older daughters, and one son. The son came with his wife and children. So three generations together coming to receive the Lord. Seven people total on just one family. That was just so amazing to see the Lord restoring people and restoring relationships. And what happened is that the son was struggling with alcohol, and he was the cause for all of them to come to church. And the couple that invited them, they were just so touched, crying out and sobbing, seeing, you know, the fruit of their labor, inviting them to come to church for the first time. The whole family got saved. There was this lady with a hernia that he was skeptic. He told me, I couldn't believe on these miracles and all that, but I had a hernia and it's not here anymore. And she was just jumping and praising the Lord and all that. That was really, really powerful. There was one lady who came in wheelchair with a condition without walking for a long time, not having any strength whatsoever to walk. After we prayed for her, she started moving her legs, and suddenly she just jumped out of the wheelchair and started walking, and that was just so powerful to see that. Yes, praise the Lord for that. To see the whole church line up as they saw this powerful miracle. A lot of inner healing. There are some couple guys received deliverance from demons oppression and all that. So people was so hungry they stayed till 4. And so I'm praising the Lord for that. So amazing. So amazing. I just shared a little bit of the whole message that I shared last time that I was here with you guys. I know the Lord start doing something in our midst here, that last sermon before I went down to Mexico. I know the Holy Spirit is moving, and you're seeing, you know, the same results in other places. The Word of God is so powerful. As I say, people got healed from their eyes, different miracles, and there was just this mini revival that Sunday, and I was so honored to being able to share the word. I went to other places also to preach, smaller churches, and seeing the same results, people getting saved. There was also, I went to home. After that, they start calling me to go to their homes to pray for other sick people, so I just was working for the Lord. And one thing that really touched my heart is I went to a high school reunion. They were making and getting ready to have one before Christmas. I recently joined this group. So they moved because they knew that I was going to be there. They moved, so I went with the solely desire in my heart to share Jesus. And this is people that I haven't seen in 30 years. And, you know, everybody had their turn to talk and all that, so I just waited to the last minute, you know, to be the last one in purpose. And I used that time to give testimony, to talk about Jesus. And they were really touched. After that, the next day, one of my friends called me and says, you know, what you shared last night about God and about Jesus and about what just, you know, had happened with all those miracles and all that. He had a brother that was really, really sick. So he asked me, can you come to pray for my brother and to talk to him and all that? I said, of course, I'm going to go. So I went that night. This was on Wednesday, this last Wednesday. He was really in bad, bad condition, just on bed, barely talking, with kidney failure and all that. I really, really saw this guy on, you know, basically on his dead bed. And so I talked to him about Jesus, really close to him because he was really, really weak. But he just responded. In that room was him, my friend, and his wife. And the three of them received Jesus as their Savior. He confessed, and after he prayed, he kept repeating, I believe, thank you, Jesus, very softly, very softly. And this morning at 6, I received the word that he passed away last night. So that really touched my heart because I felt that the Lord orchestrated all of these things, all of this trip for one person that was getting ready to, you know, call home and all that. And some of the things that the Holy Spirit was really speaking to me is that, and I share more tomorrow, more things, is that God is ready to move everywhere. He is getting ready to respond to anybody, you know, who hears the message, who hears a word of encouragement to somebody that is willing to preach, to share. You know, I share on the taxis. I got people safe on taxis and all that. So the Lord touching people. But the Holy Spirit highlighted this to my heart that I want to share with you. Over 30 people got saved. Few people, a lot, got healed, got a miracle. Many of them got inner healing. I was praying, ministering inner healing more than anything else. So people being restored, family members and all that. All of that couldn't be possible if you guys didn't send me down. So you are part of all of this that God did, because if, you know, people is not sent. And I know, I went to see my family, but always, always in our heart is the desire to share Jesus. And I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to do so, but the Lord exceed all my expectations, touching many people's life. So we, Hilltop, you are part of the salvation of many people, the healing of many people. And one person that right now is in the presence of God, that I got there on the right moment, on the right time, for him to get saved. And I'm just praying. This morning I sent a long word to my friend. And last night, another friend, part of the group, which I miss her because I left before she got there, posted last night that a sister of her also passed home yesterday. And this morning, the news of my friend's brother passing home. And I was so grieved in my heart that I couldn't share the same word to her of hope for the future, of hope for, you know, her sister. But the Lord touched at least one person that was getting ready to be called home. And he got saved. My friend got saved, and his wife got saved. And I'm just praying right now that the family receive the strength of the Lord. I'm going to call my dad to for him to go to the funeral and share more about Jesus. He was there with me in that room when I went to pray for this guy. I'm so thankful to the Lord, and I'm so thankful to you guys because you invested in souls. Many people got saved, healed, delivered, and that opened up other doors. I have plenty of invitations now to go back. One of the pastors is going to organize a big campaign and all that. So please, I ask you for your prayers. I believe the harvest is ready. God is moving everywhere. And I believe now that as we are experiencing this a process of transformation, that he is getting us ready to experience even greater things here in our midst. Amen. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for sending me down, and I'm just giving praise to the Lord for all of those miracles and signs. And I have videos and pictures and all that. I'm going to try to put together something. I posted some pictures on Facebook. But God is moving everywhere. And the same God that is doing all those miracles and great things down there is the same that is here this morning. So let's give him a clap of praise to him. And he's good. He's good. You were part of this. You weren't there physically, but you are the ones that really God used to make this trip possible. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart. Amen. So I'm just going to continue to talk about hope. And I believe that I'm going to release a word that is going to be prophetic for us as individuals and as a body for next year. I want to secure our future for next year through this word this morning. So please expect to hear from the Lord. Let's have a moment of us, the Holy Spirit, to touch our life, our hearts, and give us a revelation. Father, thank you. Thank you for the mighty works, Father, down in Mexico, Lord. You are so good. Thank you for all the salvations, the miracles, Father. Thank you for all the inner healings, Father. But now, Lord, I thank you for what you are about to do this morning here in this place, in our life, Father, as individuals and as a church. So, Holy Spirit, I declare, have your way. Touch our hearts. Reveal to us what is waiting for us ahead next year, 2018, Lord. And I declare, Father, that what you started, Father, speaking to us a couple of weeks ago, you're going to continue this morning. Hallelujah. I give you praise. I thank you. for what you are about to do this morning. I declare faith is being activated. Hope is being imparted right now in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So let's review really quick what I was sharing a couple of weeks ago about hope. Romans 15:13, New Living Translation. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we were talking about not the human hope that we know, you know, that is a good desire, but the hope that the Holy Spirit wants to impart into our life. That is a spiritual divine virtue that we only can experience when we come to God, when the Holy Spirit in us activate and reveal that kind of hope that is supernatural. So God is the source of hope. And the Holy Spirit is the one that activate, that revealed to us what truly hope is. And I was sharing about faith is for the now, but hope is the future tense of hope. That what the times and circumstances and situations in life is telling us that we need to wait by faith. We can access them now, but hope keep us moving on, keep us on believing that God is going to fulfill His promises to us. So is the Holy Spirit is in working in us, the one that impart the overflowing of that confident hope through the power. So we are talking about supernatural things, the power, the might of the Holy Spirit. And also we talk about hope is the source of joy. In this verse says that I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. So if in our life, through our circumstances, through our trials, we still experience hope, we still experience the joy and the peace of God, that means that the Holy Spirit is working in our life. But if we are walking in life with sadness, depressed, without not knowing where we are going, if we are walking without hope, if we lost hope, then we need to have a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit for that hope to be activated in us. If we are not experiencing that because circumstances in our life, I believe last time that we were here talking about hope, the Holy Spirit started touching our hearts and our life and activating that hope in Him by the Holy Spirit. So if we are always sorrowful, sad, and with this longing and for the presence of God, maybe we lost hope. But this morning, God wants to again release and impart to us a portion of that hope. So, 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, the hope, biblical hope, is based on the paternity of God, of knowing that He is our Father, because He says He has begotten us again to a true living hope, and is the foundation of that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price, as I was saying, for us to come boldly to His presence to receive from Him. This is the supernatural hope based on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, biblical hope is found in the fulfillment of the promises of God through Jesus, and only when we are born again. That's why the world out there is without hope. And they are looking On other things, other places, other situations to get hope. But true hope, the one that is real and is powerful because it's supernatural, we can only find it after we receive the revelation of the paternity of God. So hope is a source of joy, and we talk about hope is the anchor of our souls. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. So we were talking about the true hope by the power of the Holy Spirit give us total access. Sometimes we don't enter in. We stay outside, but when we have true hope, it says that through the veil, we can have access to the very presence of God. And I don't know about you, but once you have a supernatural encounter with the love of God, you always want to come back to experience the same, yes or no. So that's what hope does. Give you hunger and thirst for more, because you know that you have access. You have access. And the problem is that many times, because we lost hope, and through the storms of life, we are, you know, tossed around. This scripture says that hope is an anchor that secure our life, secure our future, because we won't be moved easily. We are going to be steadfast, firm in our place, in our call. So true hope gives you total access to have intimacy, face-to-face encounter with God. True hope makes our soul, will, emotions, and thoughts firm, secure, and establishes us in a solid ground. That's what true hope does, because the soul is the area of our feelings, our thoughts, the intellect, and those are the areas that the enemy attacks. Why? Because the problems, circumstances, situations, the information that in the natural we are getting affected our faith. And then we stop believing. But what is going to keep us going is hope, because it's the anchor to our souls. So we were talking about letting go and move to a new waters, to experience true hope, to cast the anchor again if we are being, you know, tossed back and forth through the different situations in life. And I believe that hope reveals the deeper things of God. So we were praying last time about, you know, receiving that hope. But right now, I just want to release a quick word for us for next year and your future. And I believe, as we pray, that the Lord is going to minister to you in a very, very powerful way. Let's read on Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Verse 12, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. So the name of the message is prisoners of hope this morning. And a prisoner is a person who is confined in prison, of course, or kept in custody, especially as a result of legal process. So we are going to talk about the legality that we have to be prisoners. And this is a term that we don't use sometimes, you know, from a pulpit, because it can be controversial about that, because cultural things, you know, things in the life of the country in the past and all that. But the Bible talks about being prisoners. Paul talks about being a prisoner of Christ, being a slave of Christ. So those are terms that when we understand the true meaning, give us a more deep revelation of what that is in the spirit realm. So God wants us to be prisoners of hope. And the legality that we have to be secure in Him, to be one with Him. So because we are being confined into a place, a prison per se. And you know that if you are in prison, that is a very small place to be. You don't have too many options there, you know, to go out. You are confined. You are sent there legally because things that you have done. But in this case, this is so powerful that the natural revelation of a prison is something that we don't have. But the spiritual revelation of being a prisoner actually is receiving freedom. Receiving total freedom. Being a prisoner of Christ. Being a prisoner of hope. So there are five things that I believe the Lord wants to activate in your life. For us as a church and as individuals. So pay attention. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you through this word, to this promise. As for you also, God releasing a prophetic word because of the blood of your covenant. I will set your prisoners free. So number one, what you are going through right now is just a seasonal thing. It has an expiration date, God says. Because He promised to set you free. Set you free. The time of testing is part of the transformation process. And we have talked about that in the past. The testing of our faith. The trials and the tribulations. All that is just the way. It's not the end. It's just the process for God to keep working in our hearts, in our life. But He promised that He's going to set you free because of the covenant. Because we have a covenant with God through the faith in Jesus Christ. We can have the assurance that He will fulfill His promise. Because we are a people of covenant. This is not a desire, a good intention that God has. No, we have a covenant. And He's saying here, declaring to His people, because of the blood of your covenant, because the blood of Jesus, there's a legality for us to be enabled to receive His promises. So wherever you are going through right now, God promised you that He's going to set you free. He's going to translate you from that place to another better place, better position in Him. Our future has been secured through the victory of the blood of Jesus. So every time that you are experiencing trials and tribulations, you can always remember God, His covenant. His covenant with us through the blood of Jesus, the work of the cross. And you can start activate that hope that what you are experiencing right now, God is going to come through. And He's saying, I'm going to set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. So, the more than you let the life of Christ reproduce in you, the process speed up more. The more that we trust in Him, the more that we let hope and faith arise, the more that He is able to move, to speed up the process. So number one, what you are going through is your seasonal. It's not your destiny. It's not the end of things. It's just the process to being transformed to His image. It's just the process to let Christ, the life of Christ, being reproduced in you. And you can today, right now, thank the Lord and says, thank you, Father, that even in the midst of this situation, this promise is for me, that you are going to set me free, that you are going to bring me out of the pit. And that is the promise number two for you. God is going to bring you out of the pit. And I wrote some thoughts this morning as I was praying, the Holy Spirit speaking to me. The time of the desert is coming to an end. The rivers of living water start to flow in you. The time where we were we felt that we were in a pit with experiencing the same waters. How many of you know that when you are in a pit that has water, that water is stagnated there. It's the same water. It's the same water that we are being experiencing. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring you out of that pit. So it's time to move on to a different waters. It's time to let the rivers of living waters. That's why in the New Testament, he promised to give us the rivers of living water. It's not just one stream. There are many, many streams that the Lord wants to start releasing into your soul, your spirit, your life, the church. And I believe this word is for us as individuals and as a church. It's that he's going to bring us out of the pit where we were experiencing the same things over and over, sometimes for years. But I believe that 2018 is a new beginning for us. And that the Lord is going to release the rivers of living waters. So we can come to the same river. We can come to the same place, this place, every Sunday, Monday on the Caiofa house, or the different places that looks like the same river, but the waters are different every time because they are flowing. There is a constant flowing of the presence of the Holy Spirit because he had promised rivers of living waters. So if this morning you feel that you are being through the same things over and over as an individual and also as a church, I believe that God is telling us, I'm going to bring you out of that pit, the same place, the same waters, and I'm going to start to refresh your soul. So I believe that church is going to start to experience new spiritual waters. And I know we have been experiencing that little to little, but I believe next year, 2018, is the turning point. And I want to declare and release this prophetic word for us. And I want you to believe it and embrace it and say, yes, Lord, according to your promise, according to your word, I believe that you are bringing me out of the pit, out of these situations, out of these same waters, same old experiences, to experience more in you. So I believe the Lord is going to start to open new spiritual wells out of the individuals. You, each one of you, each one of us, the living waters flowing out of you, spiritual wells where people is going to come to be satisfied, where you are going to impart, where you are going to release those living waters to others, because you know that in places where they need water, towns, they have the well of the town. And everybody needs to come there to get water, right? To satisfy their need. I believe the Holy Spirit was impressing to me this morning that each one of you, each one of us, are going to be those living wells where people is going to come because they have a need, because they see in us Jesus, and that each one of us are going to be able to minister, to release of those living waters to every person that is going to come. So I believe that this body, is going to start to draw people, because what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts and through us, and they're going to be satisfied, because how many of you know that Jesus in us is the hope that the world needs to receive? It is the work of the reconciliation, every person, every believer, and I believe he is going to start to activating us, those spiritual wells, to refresh people around you, your friends, your family members, wherever you go, your co-workers. So I want you to start to believe that there's something in you, the rivers of living water that are going to start flowing out of you, that you are an spiritual well where people is going to be drawn to, and that you are going to be able to minister to them. So he promised, I will set your prisoner free from the waterless pit. So if you feel that you are dry inside, if you feel that the Holy Spirit hasn't touched you in a while, well, he promised you he's going to take you out of that place to bring you to a different place where the living waters are flowing. And I believe that's for us. That's for Hilltop. That's for you. The Hilltop is going to experience a change in 2018. Just because the number 8 is a new beginning, I'm declaring that it's going to be a new beginning for us as individuals and as a church. That God is going to bring a spiritual change and promotion to our life. Because how many of you had enough of the past, of the things of old? How many of you want new waters in you? I want it. I'm hunger. I'm thirsty for more. Well, he promised to do that in this world. He says, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. It's his desire that we experience the refreshing of the Holy Spirit every day, every time that we come together as individual wells. Imagine that. Imagine those rivers flowing together out of the presence of God in our life. Number 3, you are coming back to the fortress. Verse 12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. So, God is bringing you back to the place of safety, the place of protection, the place where you won't be afraid anymore of what the future yields, of what tomorrow is going to bring. Why? Because his promises to us, his word to us as a believers. This is a prophetic word that that God was releasing, that we can experience today. Why? Because the covenant is already been done, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So now we can come before the Lord and says, this is for me now. I believe it. I'm going to secure my future according to your promise. I don't have to keep suffering anymore. I don't have to be thirsty anymore, because your word says that you're going to move me out of that place to a new place that is secure. So return to the stronghold. So this talks about the willingness that we need to have to return to him for more, to come to him, the action corresponding to us to say, yes, I'm going to return. I'm going to go back to that place of safety. I'm going to decide to leave this place, and I'm going to return to you, my fortress. So keep yourself focused and disciplined. Persist and keep pressing on. Let go of the past. Let go even of those good experiences, because he wants to do something new today. I just experienced it this past week, new things that refresh my spirit and my soul. So I'm right now just looking forward, really knowing that God is faithful, knowing that we can claim his promises and experiencing them. But this is the part where we need to return to the stronghold, to the safe place, to the fortress that is in him. And that is going to take us for us to make decisions, the right decisions, to let go of the past or to really just stay in the same place. So I believe that we as a church are coming back to the place where God wants to take us. There's the fortress, a secure place. You have to reveal that a stronghold around you. And when we are talking about a stronghold, we are talking about like a fortress, like a castle, right? With big walls that are protecting us. So this is what God is saying. Return to the stronghold. How we can build a wall around us, a spiritual wall that, where we know that we are protected, when we keep believing, pressing on, when we keep praying, when we keep interceding, when we keep worshiping Him, when we keep serving Him, that builds a stronghold around us. Because how many of you know that God honors those who honor Him? And He's faithful, even though many times we are not faithful, He's faithful to His promises and to His word. So He's saying, return! Come back to me! Come back to this place of safety and protection in me. Come back to the fortress. And I believe God is doing that in our spirits. Let the presence of God, let the Holy Spirit in you be your stronghold, your fortress. Not your circumstances, not your situations, not your trials, because we all go through that in life. There's no one person that walks 100% in victory all the time. No. There are seasons in life, but God promised to bring you out. Bring that to an end and return you to the stronghold. So, number four, you become a prisoner of hope. That is the only authorized prison for you. In verse 12, you, prisoners of hope, even today. So, we talk about that, the legality of being put in a place. And because Jesus already conquered, Jesus has a victory, God is saying there's a legality for you to become a prisoner of hope, where you're going to experience joy. We just read the scripture, because true hope activates joy even in the midst of the circumstances. So, you become a prisoner of hope this morning. You embrace this word. You are telling God, yes, I'm returning to the stronghold, because the legality that is in Jesus, in the covenant that I have through the blood and the power that is in the blood, you says, yes, I'm going to embrace this. This is my confined place of hope, and nothing is going to move me out of this place. No, when I see the situations, the circumstances, this is my confined, my prison, when I'm secure. And as I say, this is the only place that really gives you freedom. When you are a prisoner of hope, the hope that God has for each one of us. So you become a prisoner of hope. The Lord sets you free. Break chains of oppression. Give you hope. So, many times, the lamp, the light in us of peace, love, faith gets a little dimmer, you know, for the circumstances in life. All of those things weigh us down many times. But this scripture says that hope lights them all again. Hope is what is going to activate faith again, to believe. The light of Jesus. He says that you're prisoners of hope. So if this morning you are struggling with experiencing peace and love and faith, and you feel like the light of God in you is getting dimmer and dimmer, let hope activate all of those again. Let hope rise up within you. Because remember, hope is for the future. Hope is to take us to the end of the race. Hope help us to keep going. As we are believing in faith to experience the promises of God, now hope keep us on believing and pressing on and focus and discipline, believing in the promises of God. So the anchor principle, we are not going to be moved, not to the right, not to the left. We want to stay firm in the promises of God. Hallelujah. And number five, before we close, and if the worship team wants to come up, God will restore double to you. Double to you. I'm not coming out with this. It's not my word. It's the word of the Lord, the promise of God. Read it. Even today. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Start to think about what you have lost right now. because I believe that as we pray, God is going to start restoring double to you. Double of the peace. Double of the joy of the Lord. Double of the anointing of God in your life. The New Living Translation reads like this. Come back to the place of safety, all your prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. I like that version. I'm going to repay two blessings for each of your troubles. It's payback time. Yes, it's time to tell Satan the devil, you liar, you are going to repay me back everything that you have stole from me, from the past. So as we close in prayer, as we praise and worship the God, let this word be activated in you. These promises, I believe next year, we're going to experience double on everything that He has promised to us as individuals and as a church. That is a new beginning for us. Let hope be activated and rise up in you for a better future. That's our destiny. It's the promises of God. Let's stand on our feet and respond to this word. Five things. What you are going through is just seasonal. Your problem, your infirmity has an expiration date. God is going to take you, number two, out of the pit, the waterless pit, where you have not experienced the Holy Spirit, the living waters. Number three, you are coming back to a secure place, the fortress that is in Him, the fortress that protects you. Number four, you become a prisoner of hope. Number five, God will start to restore to you back double what the enemy has stolen from you. As we finish worshiping Him, take these promises and tell Him, yes, I'm going to start experience all of these things. As He said, even today, He says, I declare, I decree, I establish this for you, that I will restore double to you. This version, I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Take back what belongs to you. Start believing again. Move out of that waterless pit, that place of stagnation, stagnant waters, the same waters over and over. God wants to release the rivers of living waters, the Holy Spirit in you this morning. You don't have to suffer no more. Don't let the devil trick you, thinking that that's the place where you belong. No, there's more for you. There's more for each one of us. If you believe it, start receiving it right now. And I'm going to dismiss the service right now. If you have to go, feel free to go in the peace of God. We're going to stay here just to worship for a few more minutes and to pray. But thanks for coming. I pray that the Holy Spirit right now is working in your life as you go out of this place. I pray that you're going to have encounters with Him. I pray that hope through the Holy Spirit is going to give you access, face-to-face access with the living God that we serve. He's here and He's ready to minister to you. Be blessed. Thanks for coming. Let's worship. And if you want to respond, come into the front. Get on the aisle. Do whatever you need to do. Get a hold of these promises. And we want to pray and activate each one of them in a few seconds. After we pray. After we praise and worship Him. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. Start receiving right now. The work is done. The prophetic word It's being released. You just need to receive it and start to experience it right now. God is here. God is here. He wants to touch your life. He wants to empower you right now. He wants to start to repay you double. Double. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Mighty to save.